Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com.
You see, in the first 16 verses of the passage that I just read, word has come to Jesus from Bethany. Now, Bethany was a small village town about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and there was a man who was sick. That's the word, that's the news that came to Jesus. A man was ill, but it wasn't just any man. It was actually his dear friend Lazarus, his dear friend's brothers, Mary and Martha. In fact, the scripture says this is the man whom Jesus loved. And his sisters, Lazarus' sisters, desperate to heal their brother, knows that Jesus has the power to heal him, sends word to him and says, please tell Jesus to come and heal our brother. They surely know that Jesus could do it, and they thought he would surely come to do it. But yet when Jesus hears of the sickness, what does he do? He doesn't rush to heal. In fact, it says he just sits for 2 days. And in verse 4, he actually says the sickness won't end in death. But what will this sickness end in? It will end with actually the glory of God being on display, so that others would believe in the power of Jesus Christ, to believe that he is the Messiah sent to die and to live again. So make no mistake, Jesus loved Mary and Martha, and he loved Lazarus. And so finally, after 2 days, he says, let's go to Judea again. But the disciples are alarmed to go back to Judea. Why they are alarmed is because the tension between him and the Jewish leaders have already been rising. They've already tried to stone Jesus. And the disciples are like, are we really going to go back to the place where they tried to kill you last? And nonetheless, Jesus says, we are going to go. He says, Lazarus has fallen asleep. We must wake him. And once again, as you know, with the disciples, they misunderstand exactly what is happening. And they're like, well, if he's asleep, won't he wake up? And then Jesus has to say very plainly, he's dead. And we're going to go. See, this passage, you see, is full of tension so far in the first 16 verses. There's a problem. There's a problem solver, right? The problem is Lazarus is dead. There's a sick. There's a problem solver, Jesus, and yet there is no solution yet. And so it immediately makes us ask some questions about the passage. Why did he wait? Why didn't he go? Why did Jesus intentionally let Lazarus die? Because one thing that we know is Jesus did have the power to heal him. But he waits not in order to heal him, but ultimately to raise him, to display his power and his glory. Remember, Jesus moves with divine purpose and divine intentionality to bring glory to God. And so now the stage is actually set for us to see a miracle. That's what Jesus is doing. He's setting the stage in order to put his power on display and the glory of the resurrection. And so now in verses 17 through 27, Jesus actually arrives in Bethany. And he arrives in Bethany in the midst of mourning, grief, and confusion. Friends and family, you get the picture. This brother has died. Friends and family are there gathering to console their dear friends, Mary and Martha, at the loss of their brother. They're in the house. And now Jesus arrives. But now by the time Jesus arrives in verses 17 through 27, Lazarus has been dead 4 full days. What happens when a body's been laying in the tomb for 4 days? It starts decomposing. And so he's been dead. The grief filled the home. And Martha suddenly, in verses 20 through 22, she suddenly hears that Jesus is actually on his way. And so she couldn't be patient, as we know Martha to be. And so what does she do? She rises up and she goes out to meet Jesus. And what does she tell him? In a sense, I think in frustration, Jesus, if you'd been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died. He wouldn't have died. You had the power to heal him. You had the power to give him healing and life. But then in the midst of frustration, we also see faith. She says in verse 22, and isn't that us so often, frustration with what's going on in our life? And yet in the midst of our frustration, we can still even have faith, even small. And in verse 22, she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give it to you. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus looks at her and says, your brother's going to rise again. He's going to rise again. So what's Martha's response to Jesus saying, your brother's going to rise again? It's actually a very good answer. It's an accurate theological answer to when Jesus says, your brother's going to rise again. And what does she say? She's been taught very well. I know that he will rise again on the last day. She's thinking in the future. Jesus, okay, on the last day, when all's said and done, I know you're going to shout with a voice and with a cry. You're going to rend the sky open. You're going to come get your church. And on that last day, my brother will rise and meet you in the air. But Jesus is not talking about the last day. He's talking about today. And so what does he say to her in her response? He says, in almost a sense of you ain't getting it, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection and the life is standing in front of you. It's not in a distant future. It's here today in front of your face. And he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never actually die. I mean, can you imagine just being there in this moment, being Martha with all the grief and the questions, and then Jesus says that to you, and then he says also to her, I'm the resurrection and life. Do you believe this, though? And in the midst of her pain and grief and confusion, she responds once again with faith. She says, yes, Lord, I believe you. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into this world. And so in the midst of grief, there's great comfort in the fact that Martha recognizes who Jesus actually is. In the middle of death, he says, I am life. And he's about to prove it. So you see the tension build. You see the confrontation he has with Martha. He says, I know your brother's dead, but I am the very source of resurrection and life. And now in verses 28 through 37, he's actually going to prove that he has the power over life and death. And so after the confession of faith, what does Martha do, though? She slips back into the home. Remember, she went out to meet Jesus. So she slips back into the home privately to tell Mary, the teacher is here and he wants to talk. And Mary didn't hesitate. She gets up. She leaves. She goes to Jesus in the morning. Through the morning, she's weeping. And yet she goes to Jesus. People thought, what did the onlookers thought? They thought she was going to the tomb of her brother, is what the scripture says. But that's not where she's going. She's going to Jesus. And this is why I love John 11. There's so many little nuggets in there for our faith and application. In the midst of her grieving, she doesn't go to the tomb. Where does she run? She runs to Jesus. That's where she goes. And then she, in almost as I read John 11, almost a juxtaposition of her sister. You can read Martha, and they say the same exact thing. Jesus, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. But when you read Martha, you almost get this sense of frustration, almost chastising the Son of God. Jesus, if you would have been here. Yet with Mary, you don't really sense that because it says she fell at his feet, weeping. And it's more like, Jesus, if you would have been here, My brother would not have died. I trust you. It's brokenness over the death of her brother. And now you see Mary at the feet of Jesus weeping. And then you've got others behind her. Tell us about the crowd behind her weeping. Picture that in your head. Jesus, Mary weeping, the crowd mourning and weeping. And Jesus looks out and what does he say? He says, tell me where you've put him. Tell me where you put him. Tell me where you laid him. And he goes to the tomb where his friend, whom he loved, is dead. And he walks to the tomb, and the Son of God, in his full humanity, it says in verse 35, begins to weep. Oh, the compassion and mercy of our Savior, who is able to sympathize with us and care for us. And so Jesus weeps at the pain of his friend Mary, his friend Martha, at the pain of losing his own friend. He weeps as he comes face to face with death. As we know, death is an awful intruder into this world. And so Jesus is moved deeply. But then actually in verse 38, it says that he's moved deeply again. As he stands before this tomb, as Lazarus is dead, the tomb is sealed. I mean, now Jesus weeping in front of the tomb. This tomb is sealed. Lazarus dead for 4 days. Does it not, in this moment, does it not feel so final? Does it not feel so almost cold? A tomb shut and sealed, and a body behind that stone, dead and decomposing for 4 days. And what does Jesus say as he stands there weeping? He says, take away the stone. And Martha, being ever practical, says what? He's been dead for 4 days. If we move that stone, it's going to stink. There's going to be an odor. Death has done its work. The body is decaying. The body is decomposing. It's too late. Hope seems lost. And after Martha says, you know, if we move that stone, he's going to stink. I mean, imagine that's your loved one. You don't want to smell that. You don't want to experience that. You don't want to see that. And Jesus turns to her, the scripture says, and says, my brother's going to stink. And he says, did I not tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? And they move the stone. And then they moved the stone, and I'm sure the odor rushed out. And in the sight of mourning family, in earshot of crying friends, and with the smell of a decaying body, Jesus lifts his eyes to heaven and says, Father, I know that you've heard me, but I didn't say it for me. I said it so all these people around this tomb would believe. And that they would believe that you sent me. And now the moment comes where Jesus, when it says, a loud voice says, Lazarus, come out. And with those three words, the one who is the author of life and death himself, the creator and sustainer of this world and of your life, says, Lazarus, come out. And death loses its grip on Lazarus. I've always heard that if Jesus didn't say Lazarus and he just said come out, every tomb would have been emptied that day. And yet he calls Lazarus by name. And he says, come out. And death loses its grip. And then you see this scene of a man who's been dead for 4 days, wrapped in cloth, and he walks out. A man who's been dead 4 days walks out alive. And then as he walks out alive, what does Jesus say? Unbind him and let him go. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And as he does it, he puts on his full power on display, his power over life and death on display. But what happens after he raises Lazarus from the dead, this word quickly spreads. Remember, he's already been, they've already tried to kill him and stone him. Now word spreads that he's raised someone from the dead. And others, some of the religious leaders didn't rejoice. Actually, this miracle does what? You read in the last part of chapter 11, is actually provokes them to now start to plot Jesus' death. They've had enough. You're going around with claims of the divinity. You're raising people from the dead. This was the last straw. And so they seek to kill Jesus because they're angry with Jesus. And now soon in the Gospel of John, the one who just gave life will soon lay down his own life. In the sovereign plan of God, the one who gave life to the dead, here he gives life to his friend Lazarus, will soon lay down his own life, not for his sins, but for the sins of all that would believe in him. And that is precisely what Jesus does. He calls Lazarus, the one who called Lazarus out of the tomb, willingly went into one himself. And soon after these events, Jesus would die. He would be crucified on a cross for our sins. So Jesus ends up dying. And why does Jesus die? Ultimately, Jesus does not die because of the anger of religious leaders. Jesus actually ends up dying because of the preordained, foreordained plan of his Father in heaven to satisfy God's wrath toward sin. That is why he ultimately dies. Not at the anger of men, but at the very anger of his heavenly Father who has to punish sin. So Christ now, God working through human means, God now sends Jesus to the cross to die for our sins, die as a substitute for sinners, and dies as a sacrifice and atonement. Jesus on the cross takes on our curse for sin. He gives the full payment and takes on the full penalty. Our debt is paid, our sentence is served, and our victory is won through Jesus on the cross. For the wages of our sin is death. And Jesus takes upon himself the curse and the penalty for our sins, so our sins could be cleansed, washed away, and carried far from us in order that we may be reconciled to God and restored back to God and inherit eternal life. And then, in the very vindication of that death of Jesus Christ, God lets us know that he actually accepts Jesus' death as payment for our sins by raising Jesus from the grave. So on Good Friday, Jesus writes a check for the debt that we owe. And on Sunday, when he's raised, that's telling us the check has been cleared and that he accepts the payment of Jesus Christ. And so on the third day, after Jesus dies, Jesus raises again from the grave, and his resurrection is the Father's vindication, a declaration that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient, accepted, and complete for all that would believe in him. And so now, Jesus has died. But just as surely as Lazarus walked out of the grave, Jesus himself will walk out of the grave. The resurrection was vindication. It's proof that our sins have been paid in full. The resurrection is saying the cross worked. The debt of sin is canceled. Death is defeated. And now Lazarus's death in John 11 is pointing, Lazarus' resurrection in John 11 is actually pointing us forward to Jesus' own resurrection later on in John. And just as the story of Lazarus does not end with a dead man in a grave, neither does Jesus' story. Jesus doesn't just, see, we learn that Jesus can raise others in John 11. But what we learn later on is Jesus doesn't just raise others, he raises himself. He's got the conqueror, he's able to conquer death personally, the grave personally, that death cannot hold Jesus. And why can death not hold Jesus? Because he tells Mary and Martha and everyone standing around, he says, death cannot hold me. Death has no grip on me because I am the resurrection and the life. And so see Jesus here, we see in John 11, we see him bring life. But what we must note and what we must pay careful attention to is Jesus just doesn't bring life. He is life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, resurrection, life, eternal life is found in a person. See, Lazarus's resurrection was not just an act of compassion from a friend who had the power to do something. It's a powerful declaration Jesus is making of who he is. He says, if you believe me and you believe I'm the resurrection life, what are you going to see? You're going to see and experience the glory of God. See, resurrection, life, eternal life, and hope are all found in a person. And that's the person, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has power over life and death, raises the dead and raises himself from the dead. Jesus doesn't say, he doesn't just say, I do resurrection. He says, I am resurrection. And he isn't just offering life. He says, I am life itself, found in a person. And Jesus, that is life himself, says those who die believing in him are actually promised resurrection and life. They're promised to live. But you can only live. You can only be raised again. You can only have eternal life in one person and one person only, the one who is resurrection and life. Resurrection and life is nowhere else to be found. It cannot be discovered. It cannot be bought. It cannot be achieved. It must be looked at by faith in Jesus Christ. And for those that believe, Jesus' voice is a call to life, now and forever. Through Jesus' resurrection, believers are raised to new life, freed from sin, justified, and united with Christ forever. See, to believe in Jesus is to have life right now. See, remember, Martha thought life was in the future. No, to believe in Jesus means you have life right now. Life today and life eternal. See, Lazarus' resurrection is not just a miracle. It's also a message. It's a message to every one of us. It's a picture of what Jesus does to sinners. Like Lazarus, we were dead. Not physically, but we were spiritually dead. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. And like Lazarus, we are dead and unable to bring ourselves to life. What was Lazarus doing in the tomb? Nothing but stinking. That's all he could do. And like we spiritually are like Lazarus, we're dead. There's nothing we can do to bring ourselves life. So Lazarus, like Lazarus, he was laying lifeless in the tomb, bound in grave clothes. What are we outside of Christ? We're laying in a dead man's tomb, bound in the clothes of sin. That's bound us and kept us captive, trapped in our sin, helpless and hopeless on our own. But then, like Lazarus, when you come to saving faith, every brother and sister who's come to you, you've come to saving faith. Like Lazarus, what happened when you were laying dead in your sin? You heard a voice call out to you. And that voice called you by name and awakened a dead heart and brought life where there was none and set you free from sin and death's grave. It says, come forth and come out of the grave that holds you. And just like Lazarus, we're not only called, but we are raised. He brings life. He breathes life into us. He takes Jesus by the sound of his voice, calling us by name. He brings life where there is deadness. He brings light where there is darkness. He gives us new hearts and new life. He takes what is dead and makes it alive for his glory. That is what Jesus does. And so when he calls out people by name, he brings us out of darkness and out of death into light and life. And yet, even beautifully so, like Lazarus, Jesus comes to us. He says, "Where have they laid him?" And he goes to Lazarus. And just like that, in our life, Jesus comes to us, does he not? It's his initiative, it's his grace, it's his pursuit. Before I ever knew him, he loved me and sought me and bought me. And he comes to us, and we know he comes to us because he dies on the cross for my sins and was raised again to for my life eternal. And so when Jesus calls us by name, brother and sister, it is us who come out of the grave. See, the raising of Lazarus is a picture of what Christ does for every sinner. The dead made alive by the voice of the living Christ. Have you been made alive by the voice of the living Christ? Have you been brought from death to life? Do you have new life? Do you have a new heart? Do you have new loves? Have you, as Jesus said, unbind him and let him go, death and sin? Are you a new man? Have you walked out of the grave? Do you have resurrection and life? Because as the risen Christ stood before the tomb, he stood before Martha, he stands before us today. He stands before you today saying, "I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Do you believe this? When Lazarus heard Jesus call his name, he came out of that tomb, and it is today Jesus calls your name. Have you heard the call of the shepherd to his sheep? Will you come out of death and believe in the one who holds life in his hands? The risen Christ stands before you with the same call he gave to Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, that even though you die, you shall live? Believe today and see the glory of God through the resurrection of his Son. John 5:25 says, "The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Have you heard the voice of the Savior calling you out of the tomb of your death and sin? Do you believe this, that Jesus has conquered sin and death and offers you life? And not just that he offers it, but are you willing to receive it by faith? Come out of the grave, come out of death, come out of darkness, and come to the risen, resurrected King Jesus by faith. He's calling you by name to come to him and to believe upon him for resurrection and for life, for eternal life. Jesus is not asking that you would do something. He didn't have Lazarus before he came out of the tomb. He didn't tell Lazarus, "Lazarus, come out, but before you do, unbind yourself, wash off the decay, splash some water on your face, then you can come out." No, he, in all his death and in all the stink and in all the grave clothes, he just told him to come out and come out to him. And in the very same way, Jesus doesn't tell you to unbind yourself. He doesn't tell you to clean yourself up. He doesn't say, "Get the stink off of you first before you come to Jesus." He just says, "Come out and come to me." See, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Do you have this life? Hear the Savior call. And if you're a believer here today, the simple call to you is to rejoice that Jesus is alive. And because he is alive, you have new life. You've been raised out of the spiritual grave and out of the spiritual death to walk in newness of life. Stop trying to wear your grave clothes and let them go. Live boldly and joyfully for the one who's called you out of the tomb. That Jesus has called you by name and he brings life and liberty to a dead heart. If you're a Christian, Lazarus' story is a picture of your story. He called you out of death and made you alive. So let us worship the risen King. He is the resurrection and the life, worthy of all our praise. There is victory and there is life. So believers, worship him. He has made you alive. Death has no sting. And for the unbeliever, come today to Jesus by faith. Believe and live. Death couldn't hold him. The tomb couldn't keep him. And on the third day, Jesus walked out of the grave victorious, alive forevermore. He didn't just escape death. He defeated it. He crushed it beneath his feet. Jesus has won the victory. And why has he won the victory? Because Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. So death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just raise Lazarus, he raised himself. And we praise God that he didn't leave us in a spiritual tomb dead, but he came to us and called us by name. And his resurrection is proof that our sins are paid for, the curse is broken, and the grave has lost its grip on me. So today we rejoice. The tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. Jesus is risen, Jesus is reigning, and Jesus is returning. My friends, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?
Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.